So if we convince the emotional part of our brain that this is something that we really want for ourselves and that we can visualize ourselves actually having that, we can accomplish any goal that we set for ourselves.
Welcome to the Ronin Mindset Podcast. My name is Steve Didier, and today we have a very special guest on the podcast, a productive business development coach extraordinaire, Ms. Suzanne Dwyer. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I love your background.
Thank you. It's my sunroom, favorite room in my whole house.
Is that the water back there?
Yep. So the ocean is right back there.
Yep. Nice. Nice. I like it. It's got a very beachy sort of vibe.
Oh, yeah. Not too far from the Cape, so got the kind of Cape Cod vibe going on.
I love the beach, but I think I need something a little bit more tropical myself.
Understood. Yeah, there's nothing worse than being at the beach and having to push the snow off of the sand. It kind of sucks, I can tell you.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good, though. So, all right. So, productive business development coach. Obviously, you've been in the business coaching sphere for quite a while in one form or another.
Absolutely.
And so tell us about what's a productive business development coach?
Absolutely. So there's a shit ton of business development coaches out there. I mean, I could probably throw a rock and hit about 20 of them, right?
Those are life coaches.
Right. Life coaches, business coaches. There's just so freaking many of them at this point. But really what it comes down to is until you put productivity behind what it is that you're trying to accomplish, you're not going to accomplish anything. And that's like kind of like the leading force of what I work with. I make sure that I put productivity behind everything. So it's not just, you know, here's the idea of what we want to come up with. It's not just the strategy. It's like, okay, so now here is the action plan. Here are the necessary steps. Here are your goals. Here's how we're going to get there. And it's just a very, very step-by-step, like methodical process while keeping goals really, really close. I kind of set up something called HEART goals. And HEART goals is where you actually take it kind of like a step further. You're not just doing the, you know, typical, you know, bullshit of like, is it actionable? Is it, you know, like all of that shit, because everyone does that crap. I take it a step further into H is habits. Like, what habits do you have to change? What habits do you have to start? What habits do you have to stop to, like, you know, make these things happen? Then, you know, of course, you're getting into like the other aspects as well, like getting into E for emotion. What emotions do you want to feel with accomplishing your goals? And I could just kind of keep going down that path because, you know, really anybody can set a very typical goal, right? But I want to make sure you actually accomplish your shit. So I'm going to stay on top of your ass. That's what I do. Right.
And I like that too, because I think a lot of people just set arbitrary goals.
Yeah.
That really aren't something that they're emotionally drawn to or something that they're really connected to. They're more or less setting goals because they think that's what might be expected of them as a business owner or as an entrepreneur or whatever they are in life. They think, okay, society thinks, I should be making X amount or whatever. So something a little bit more closer to heart. That's something that's always kind of near and dear to me too, because your goal has to have some emotion behind it.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of people get the disconnect. When you are also not including habits in your goals, when you don't include a habit change to accomplish something, you're already shooting yourself in the foot. You have to set yourself up for the goals that you want to achieve. So changing habits is exactly that. You want to lose 20 pounds? Well, what does that mean? That means you're going to go to the gym. That means you're going to eat healthier foods. You're going to, you know, watch what you're doing. You're going to be hydrating. You're going to be taking care of yourself, right? Those are habit changes. Yep. So that's how you kind of make your action plan, is through those habit changes. And the emotional piece is something that people don't really connect with as often either, which is another really big problem. When you don't have it connect with you emotionally, you're not connecting to your goal. Emotions are our leading force, right? So like the same part of our brain that runs our entire body, all of our shit, like all of our involuntary stuff, blinking, breathing, heartbeat, all of that stuff. It's the same part of the brain that also regulates emotion. It's the same part. So it's the stronger part of our brain. So if we convince the emotional part of our brain that this is something that we really want for ourselves and that we can visualize ourselves actually having that, we can accomplish any goal that we set for ourselves. So you got to connect the emotion to it to actually convince your brain that it's something worth fighting for.
Right. I fully agree with that, because early on when I kind of started studying goal setting, one of my major influences was Brian Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things, you know, present, positive, personal tense, but also emotion. Like if you're saying your affirmations, your goals, you say them with emotion. You're just, okay, I want to earn X amount, you know, you own it. Like it's got to be something that gets you excited, or you don't have that energy, that vibration behind it that's going to attract those goals.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't actually accomplish the things that you want to accomplish without tying it to yourself in some way, shape, or form. And emotion is usually the number one way to do that.
I would agree. And I think the habits is very strong too, because it's our day-to-day actions that determine where we actually end up a year down the road, 3 years, 5 years down the road.
Absolutely. Manifestation only goes so far. You have to actually put action behind the things that are being shown to you.
No.
I know. You got to still do the thing. It's crazy. Yeah. It's so, weird. You know,
I can't sit on my couch and drive a Ferrari.
No. Be cool. I mean, I've never seen a Ferrari with a couch in it, but like, kind of a cool visual. But
show
no,
up in
I mean,
driveway, I'm sure
it'll just show up just like that, right?
No.
It's like I dream of Genie, like, you know, and you're good. But manifestation doesn't work that way. And, you know, a lot of people believe like they just will it into existence. And it's like, there's other pieces to it. Like you can visualize, you can meditate on it. You can absolutely, you know, will things to you that you really want, but you have to be open. You have to be emotionally connected to what you want. You have to set yourself up with the right habits to be welcoming those types of things in, because really the universe wants us to have everything that we want, right? She doesn't like say, hey, listen, no. She's gonna try to get you everything that you want for yourself. That is aligned for you. But if you don't align yourself with it, she's gonna be like, you don't really want it. Like, that's just how it works.
Right.
Like, you've got to set yourself up.
Your actions each day have to be congruent with the life that you say you want, or the goals that you say you want to attain.
Agreed.
100%. I mean,
completely.
You know, I'm a mechanical sort of guy. I'm a, you know, I had it step by step. So that's all part of the process. But yeah, the winning the day, stacking those wins, establishing the habits that are going to lead to success. I mean, you can do those without having the visualization, but it's not going to be as powerful. But the two together, that's where the real magic happens.
Right. Exactly.
So I like
those
that.
Connection
heart
pieces,
goals.
Heart goals. Yep. It's my little
now,
made
is that
up
a full
one.
Acronym?
Yes.
Is that a full acronym?
Yep. Yep. I break down every single aspect of it. So it's habits, it's emotional, it's attainable. It's then getting into the realistic, of course, because when it gets into the unrealistic, doesn't really jive. Because really, I'm sorry, it's not attainable. It's aligned. If it's not aligned with you, it's not going to work. So aligned, then we get into the realistic, and then timeline it. So I actually make you stick a timeline to it, not just I want this within 6 months. I want you to create short-term goals to get to your long-term goal. So the stepping stones, right? You need to walk across the stepping stones to get to the big boulder that you want to go sit by, you know, next to that gorgeous waterfall. You need to kind of set little milestones along the way. So when I say timeline, I'm going to have you set three very specific little milestones, little stepping stones in between the goal and what you want to achieve. So it's going to be like those little stepping stones are going to help you get to that end goal. So what are you going to change? What are you going to do? How is it like, how are you going to know that you're hitting these points? So it's again, attaching it to your emotion, attaching it to your habits, and actually connecting it to yourself.
That's really good. I like that. I think those timelines and those milestones are important because it keeps you on track.
Yes, exactly.
So with the realistic part, let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people are confused about realistic, unrealistic, because I truly believe that, you know, a lot of people just say, oh, set a goal so big that it scares you. If it doesn't scare you, it's not a goal. Cool. It's got to inspire you. It's got to be with that emotion. However, if you set something that is just completely outside like your financial thermostat, you know, we'll use money because that's something that everybody, you know, talks about. It can actually be detrimental to your goal achieving efforts. Like if, you know, somebody's, you know, working a waiter or waitress job and they're making a couple grand a month and they say, I want to be on a $400 million yacht by next year. I'm not going to piss on anybody's dreams, but, you know, so how do you balance with your clients, balance like aggressive / realistic?
Absolutely. So that is a part, I mean, I think I've heard everybody at one point or another say, I want a Lamborghini, or I want $1 million. And I was like, I want a Shetland pony. You know, I want to have like, you know, a hot pool boy. Like what, I mean, come on. Like we have to have things. I know, right? But like things have to be realistic for yourself. Like if you are like, you know, you've got like $3 in your account and you're saying that you want to be a millionaire by, you know, 6 months, that's not going to be realistic. If you want to say within 5 years, that's realistic. So what we do is, depending on the goal that they're setting for themselves, if it's something that's like completely like, okay, this is going to have to be moved out to, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years, but we're going to create these milestones to get you there. So really what it comes down to is, depending on the goal, I don't want to take to anybody's goal and tell them like, it's not going to happen. However, right, your timeline would have to be extended to be able to accomplish right. The goal that you really want. So you can't say, you know, I want to be a millionaire in 6 months when you don't have two nickels to rub together. You right. have to be realistic about it. And that's also what the alignment comes into play as well, because alignment and realism really connect to each other. Because the fact is that people typically will set goals that don't align with themselves. So you could say, right. you know, I want to, you know, travel and do all of these wonderful things and see the world. And then in the same breath, you're also saying, but I also want to be settled down and married and have, you know, a white picket fence and you know, 2.5 kids and a golden retriever. They're right. contradicting of each other, right? So that yep. changes the realistic aspect of it, because you're now your goal is not aligned. Your goals are not aligned with each other. Your goals
I'm pretty
have
solid
to
on
align.
The travel part.
Right? I know. Yeah. You're pretty good at that one. You're pretty good at that one.
I'm aligned. I'm good. I'm good.
You're aligned on that. You're aligned. You're just like, nope, this is my thing.
No picket fence.
Absolutely. No picket fence. You don't need a picket fence yet.
Nah.
But it's like, if those things are not aligned with each other, if your goals aren't aligned with each other, then they can't be a realistic goal, because now you're basically asking for two opposite things. So the realist portion is, like I said, it's like that part of, I don't want to dash anybody's dreams, but we have to look at reality for reality as well. You know, the only way that you're going to become a millionaire in like, you know, in 3 months or a month or whatever is you're going to hit the lottery or, you know, you're going to have a rich uncle that dies. You know, it's not going right. to be a situation of I'm going to earn this. You know, it's going right. to be a, I want it given to me. And that is a completely different ask of your goals and of the universe in general. The universe right. is like, I really want you to have everything you want, but I want to know that you really want it. So you have to show me that you really want it by aligning yourself with it like you already have it. Now, if you look right. at like every famous person in the history of forever, they all say the same exact thing. And it's they always lead with gratitude, which gratitude is number one. Always lead with your gratitude right. for the goals that you want, even just visualizing them. You're going to give gratitude for those things. You're going to connect emotionally with those things that you want for yourself before you even have them. And that's right. like number one. And then the next step from that is getting deep into these things as if you already have them. So, you know, it's yep. already here. I've already got it. This is already mine. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. You know, like you're already right. setting yourself up because you are aligning yourself with the goals that you want. If yep. you don't do it, you won't get it.
That goes with the same way you construct your goals. You don't say, I want to earn $1 million a year. You say, I earn $1 million a year, or whatever the number is, yeah. or whatever the goal is. But yeah, use the present perfect positive tense, and that helps you connect with it. And I like adding the gratitude part
yeah.
to that as well. So I am so grateful, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Is. Gratitude is like the driving force. That's basically the gas in the car.
You know, I've experienced that in my own life, you know, after I got wiped out in the real estate crash and I was really struggling for a while. And then when I decided to focus on gratitude, I noticed something. One, when I first started, it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I realized that I wasn't connecting a lot of emotion to the gratitude. So, you know, I was okay. I was writing down three things I was grateful for every day. Right. But I was just writing them down because, you know, once again, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't connecting a lot of emotion to it and, like, you know, thinking about it. Like, okay, oh, I'm grateful for my friends and family. Yeah, okay, so what are you grateful for? You mm-hmm. know, what specifically? You know, like, I just got to spend, I've been up in Minnesota for a couple months, and I got to spend, like, just an hour sitting in the yard. Absolutely beautiful weather with my mom yesterday. It was just amazing. Just sitting there chatting. She was telling me some stories. Like, they've lived here in this house for 50 years.
Wow.
They've been married. It'll be 57 years this year.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a huge accomplishment. You know, so I was getting some stories from her about, you know, when they first moved in, and, you know, there's a tree that I planted right out here when I was in grade school. They sent you home from grade school with these little pine trees, you know, mm-hmm. and it is probably close to 50 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm old. That's basically what I'm getting at.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm old.
right. Well, but, you know, it's
the connection.
It's a connection. So, you know, going back to the gratitude thing, you know, like when I grew up, my gratitudes when I got up this morning, I specifically put, I am super grateful for that time I got to spend chatting with my mom mm-hmm. and enjoying the weather, because the weather is beautiful. There weren't that many mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. So, you know, but I really, really focus these days on connecting emotion, really getting, not just writing something. So, oh, I got to write down three things this morning. Yada, yada, yada. No, getting stuff that's legit, something that I truly feel inside. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the power of gratitude comes in. And if you can get that same feeling attached to being grateful for a goal that you're putting down,
mm-hmm.
that's good stuff.
Exactly. If you lead with the gratitude for it, you'll always accomplish. So I'm going to challenge you on something too. So you said you do three things you're grateful for, huh? Okay.
Yep.
I do 10 every morning, and I write the reason.
And what?
And I write the reason. I am so truly grateful for blank because, and then I give the reason. And then I meditate and visualize every single instance that I had happen. Could be the day before, could be the week, could be just in general, could be, you know, the air, could be anything, right? And I write the reason why I'm grateful for it. It helps you connect to it emotionally that much deeper. You'll feel it more by giving a reason.
Yeah.
Right?
I can imagine.
Like if someone says to you, I love you, Steve, you're gonna be like, oh, that's sweet. But if someone says to you, I love you, Steve, because you are truly a caring person. You love with your whole heart. You appreciate everybody around you. You just have this great personality. You have an amazing smile. You make everyone around you happy.
Sounds like you're giving my eulogy.
No, but at the same time, it's like it connects more when someone actually
that
gives
Steve
you the
guy,
reason.
Every time he walked in a room, he just was the light and everybody was brighter. Now, if somebody stands up and says that at my funeral, you can actually just slap them.
I'll run them over with a car for you. How about that?
Okay.
with the Lamborghini. Okay.
Yes. Please do. Please do. But no, I understand.
You get where I'm going, right?
I get what you're saying for it, because if you put a reasoning behind it, that also makes you actually think instead of just, oh, I'm grateful for X. Okay,
correct.
Well, why am I grateful for X?
Exactly. Exactly. Because if you think about it now, why were you grateful for that time with your mom?
Well, you know, it may be sound different, but I haven't spent this much time up with my parents in over 30 years since I left right out of, you know, basically at the end of high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we become older, we become much more aware of our own mortality and the mortality of others. So it's becoming more aware. I'm becoming more aware of the fact that the time that we have with others is limited. Mm-hmm. So it's been very, very important to me to spend quality time, especially with, like, you know, mom and dad.
Of course.
So, sounds like a bad reason, but as the Stoics say, remember, you're going to die.
Yes, unfortunately, that's kind of part of it, part of the process, but it's, family is everything. You know, that's just the way that I believe. You know, family first in every situation. You know, I don't care if it's, you know, whatever's related, it's my family will always come first. I don't care what the situation is.
Right.
You know, speaking of my daughter actually introduced me to someone yesterday, and, he's like, she told me that you were scary. You don't seem scary. I was like, yeah, hurt my kid. Like, just deadpan face. And he was like, no, never. I'm like, good, because do you see? Yeah, that's 10 acres. You know what else? I got plenty of shovels and they will never find your body.
Yeah.
And he was like,
it's deep water out there too.
There's the scary. Okay, I see it, right? So
right.
That one place, you don't mess with my family. My family is my everything. And same situation for you. Your family is incredibly meaningful to you. That emotion is there. The connection to the time that you have with them, even though it was limited, now you're coming back to it and realizing how important that actually is.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. I mean, I've always always had a good relationship with my family and, you know, everything like that, but I really am grateful, truly grateful for this time I've been in. Because I, you know, honestly, leaving, what is today? Tuesday? Okay, yeah. 2 days, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Miami bound, and then Spain and Thailand and wherever. I don't really have a plan after that. So, you know, I'm also aware of the fact that being the black sheep prodigal son that I've always been, it may be a while until I get home again.
Mm-hmm.
So, never know how life is going to pan out. My mind might be back sooner than I figured, but who knows?
Yeah. I honestly think that the travel is definitely set for you as far as like what it is that you're supposed to be doing for yourself. But I can also say that the time that you're having before the travel, that's going to be something that's going to stay with you.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. I've had, you know, I usually come home for holidays, you know, once or twice a year. And, you know, the holidays, hustle, bustle, like, oh, it's busy and dinner and everything's right. And you don't actually get to spend quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to spend really good time with each one of my siblings, my mom and dad and friends here. So it's been a really perfect time and a perfect scenario for me prior to heading out. So I'm
completely
grateful for that.
See, so when you add the reasoning, you feel it a little bit more. So when you're writing out your gratitude, try adding that.
All right. I will, coach.
Absolutely. I mean, as of right now, I'm on day 1,134 of daily gratitude.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So saying consistency.
Consistent is key.
Consistency is key,
Yep, I write out
100%.
10 things every morning and then I meditate on every single one of them. So I take time, I visualize them, I remember them, I remember the emotions that I felt during that time. I remember the, every aspect of it. So yesterday I put in this morning, I'm so truly grateful that I was able to get the yard done because it looks absolutely amazing and I feel really accomplished by it. And as I was visualizing it, I was feeling the sun on my skin, which, as you can see, I'm pretty sunburned. I felt the sun on my skin. I
Yeah, you
felt
did.
the breeze in the air, the smell of the grass, the emotion of being when it was done and seeing how it looks and being accomplished. For some people, they're just like, it's mowing the lawn. It's 11 hours for me to take care of my yard. It's
Wow.
very large. It's a lot to do.
Right.
So it is an entire day challenge, and it's something for me that when I finish it and I accomplish it and it looks so beautiful, I feel really grateful for having such an amazing property and being able to maintain it and being able to have it always look nice because that makes me feel good. And I felt everything that I felt yesterday while I was mowing the lawn. I had my little
Really?
audiobook in and everything else, and I was like all going, And so when I write it out and then I visualize on it, it's like you re-feel everything that you felt from something that had already happened.
So let's talk about that for a second, because with this particular show, mindset is a big theme. You're in a fantastic property, 10 acres on the beach, private beach. I mean, in New England, like Massachusetts, right? So obviously property like that isn't cheap. Now, you did not inherit that. You did not come from a background that screamed, "Oh, this woman's going to be successful." And you overcame a ton of obstacles. So let's talk about that mindset for a second, because it's always fascinating to me when somebody comes from a background that isn't necessarily traditionally conducive to success. Obviously, if somebody comes from a wealthy family and they're automatically leveraged into the best colleges and schools and they have that built-in network, that you still have to perform, of course, but you're kind of starting the race with a little bit of a head start. And it's always been fascinating to me because I didn't come from a hard upbringing by any means. Like I said, my parents are still together at 57 years. But we certainly didn't have money. I grew up on a farm in central Minnesota. Patches on the jeans. I had hand-me-downs from my older cousins. I'm the oldest kid, and I still had hand-me-downs. Go figure that one, right? So, it definitely wasn't an environment that was, like I said, traditionally conducive to success. We didn't have those conversations at the dinner table. We didn't talk about investing. We didn't talk about money or entrepreneurship or any of those things. And kind of the traditional path for many people around here, there was like a total of 80 kids in my graduating class. So tiny. So it's kind of like, okay, you marry your high school sweetheart, you either get a job right away, or maybe you go to school and then get a job and you settle down right here. And I'm not knocking that. It was never for me. Like, I was 5 years old and I wanted out, but it certainly wasn't fertile ground for, oh, I want to be entrepreneur, I want to travel the world, I want to be successful, all those kinds of things. So whenever I look somebody, maybe somebody came, because your background is pretty tough. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I grew up with six people living in a two-bedroom house with one bathroom,
We had seven, one bathroom.
You know the
And two sisters, so
Yep.
that complicates that.
Oh, yes. Yep. So yeah, there was that. I started working from a very young age. I started working from the age of 9 with babysitting, and then by 12, I was basically what you would consider to be a home health aide now. Which I didn't realize, but I took care of a woman up the street for me, went to her house before school, took care of her, got her ready for the day, made her breakfast, made her lunch, came back after school, cleaned her house, made her dinner, got her a bath, got her ready for bed, went home,
Wow.
and then took care of like my little sister, took care around the house, and then finally got around to getting homework done.
And that was
At
at 12.
12, 12. Yeah, my little sister was just born when I was 12, so
Wow.
And then, unfortunately, things didn't happen the way that I planned. I had big plans for myself. In high school, I wanted to be a fashion designer, but very specifically for like naughty lingerie.
Oh, okay.
I know, right? Would have been fun.
That's a very oddly specific
Very
goal for a
oddly
young woman.
specific. Yep, but that's what I wanted to do. I was like, I want to make like really, really good stuff, right? I wanted to be good.
Yeah.
So I like took extra fashion classes in high school and everything. I was really interested in doing it. And life had other plans. And I ended up married at 17.
Wow.
And yep, got signed out
That
of high
usually works
school.
out.
Yeah, that was great. Got signed out of high school by him. And after that, it was basically, unfortunately, I had to deal with some domestic abuse and all of that. And I just kind of coming back from all of that was hard. It was hard. But I can say, like, I never stopped kind of having, visualizations for what I wanted for myself. When I finally broke free of the mindset of this is just how it is. Everything started to change. And that was almost like going on 9, 10 years ago now. I started setting goals for myself, for what I wanted to accomplish, for what I wanted for myself, and what I wanted to be able to see for myself and for my family. And from there was like kind of no stopping. I actually drove past this property. And was on vacation, drove past it, fell in love. I still lived in New York. I hated it. I hated New York. There's nothing about it that was like conducive of me staying there. Like I'm like, I'm not supposed to live here. I knew that from the time that I was little, just like you knew. I just knew I wasn't supposed to be there. Drove past this house, absolutely fell hell, head over heels in love. I'm like, that's it. That's my dream house. I'm gonna own that. And I was dating someone at the time, and this guy actually turns around and like scoffed at me. He's like, "Yeah, good luck with that." And I was like, "Bro, now that you told me I can't, now I have to just be spiteful, okay? Because that's how I do.
That's how it
But
is.
that's how it is." But 2 weeks later, I went back to New York, sold, put my house on the market, moved up here, rented a house up the street, and was waiting. Because I was like, I have to be closer to this property because I know I'm supposed to own it. I put it on my vision board. I visualized it, everything. And ironically enough, it happens where the person that I was renting from up the street, she kept upping my rent and telling me that she wasn't going to renew my lease and all of this kinds of stuff because unfortunately, Massachusetts is there's no rent control. So I came in at like $1,600 a month, and like I left at like $2,800 a month. It was crazy, and it was like every couple of months she would just, oh, I'm just gonna find somebody new because you're not gonna want to pay the new rent. And I'm like, how much is it? Like I'll pay it. It's fine because like we needed a roof over our heads. And ironically enough, it was like around Easter 1 year that I really thought she was not gonna renew, and I was freaking out, and I was like. So I started looking and there was nothing available in my area. So I resorted to Craigslist and I'm like, the fuck even post on Craigslist anymore. But believe it or not, I found, four bedroom house in the town that I was looking for rent. And I was like, all right, let me reach out to the guy. So I reached out to him, texted him and everything like that. And we talked back and forth a little bit. And then it was like a couple of weeks later, he's like, hey, listen, so it turns out my sister's going to rent the property. But do you want me to just kind of keep your name and your number just in case it comes available again? It's like, yeah, no, that'd be great. She actually renewed my lease anyway, so it worked out. And it was then 3 days before Thanksgiving that she texts me 3 days before Thanksgiving and says, hey, so I just want to let you know, I'm not going to renew your lease. And I'm like, here we go again. And she was like, nope, but I'm really serious this time. I have somebody moving in the day after your lease expires. I'm like, my lease expires December 24th.
Wow.
Do you really mean to tell me you're going to make me pick up and move my kids on Christmas Eve? And she's like, well, I mean, you can leave before then.
Wow, how nice of her.
I was shocked. Of course, now I had, family coming in for the holiday and everything, and I was just beside myself. And I remember that it was like days after Thanksgiving, and I am like not catching my breath. And finally, I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking, and I'm like, just like, what are we going to do? Like, my brain is just because nothing is available in the area. And I was like, all right, I don't know. I just don't know. And I looked out onto my back deck, and there was a red cardinal sitting right there. And I was like, ah, all right, hey, Dad. No sooner do I say that, I get a text message. Hey, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the guy with the 4-bedroom house. Turns out my sister's moving out December 1st. So it would be available. Are you interested? Before I list it, I'm like, don't list it. I will meet you with a deposit immediately. And he's like, but you haven't seen it. I'm like, I don't care. We need to move. We have to move. I'm like, so
Right.
I will take it. So I was like, okay, for the month of December, I have to pay rent in two houses. Okay, fine. It's fine. It'll get me one step closer. This is going to get me one step closer to the house. And I know it, and I feel it, and I know that that's the case. I didn't get the address. I didn't know where I was going. And I got the address 10 minutes before I was supposed to be there. And I started driving down the road. And I'm getting closer and closer and closer to this dream property. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I pull into the driveway and it's the dream property. And I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. And so there's three houses on the property plus a pool house. And I was going to rent the first house. And I was like, I want it. I want it here. Here's the money.
I'll take
Take
it.
it. Take it. It took me a month to clean the house out, like a whole month, because the house was just full of stuff. It was like a mess. I took the entire month to clean it out. We moved in on the 20th. So we moved in before Christmas. So we didn't have to move on Christmas.
Right.
But it was just the most unbelievable experience. And I kept active offers on the table for 3 years while I rented this house until he finally caved and sold me the property. I was like, I'm not giving up. And he's like, you're really not. I'm like, listen, my heels are so deep in the soil right now that they are burning up from the heat of the earth's core. I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, literally, I'm not leaving. So sell it to me. And he agreed.
That's awesome.
So it's like I aligned myself, I put myself in the place, I knew what I wanted, I kept myself in that space, and I kept everything aligned with that goal. And here it is. Now I own, the 10 acres. I own all three houses and the pool house. We have a private beach access. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience, and I am incredibly grateful for it every single day. There's not a day that goes past that I'm not grateful to be here.
That is a dream property for
Yeah,
real. I mean,
it
10
really
acres on the
is.
beach is unheard of in the US.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get that in Nicaragua, pop, but it's tough to find.
It is. This is absolutely an amazing place to be. Plus, this property used to be used for salt. So like for salt mining and salt, oh God, what is it called? Manufacturing. So like they would actually like, utilize this property. So this property is so like energetically charged with all of the salt in it. It's unbelievable. Everything
Wow.
grows amazingly here. I mean, even the weeds, like everything. Like there's nothing that
Everything.
doesn't grow well here. And just like you feel a vibration off of the land, which is just an
Wow.
amazing thing. People will show up and just like, I'm just like, do yourself a favor, take off your shoes. And as soon as
Yeah.
they do, they're just like, whoa, what's that? I'm like, that's the vibration of the property. It's nice, isn't it? But there's not one person that doesn't feel it. Like, I mean, I don't care if you're, spiritual or non-spiritual, you feel it on this property. Like, you feel the energetic charge here. It's amazing.
That's really cool. That is like literally dream property. And it's so many times you hear, not maybe super similar stories, but similar stories in terms of putting specific homes on vision board. And like, how do you know that that home is ever going to come up for sale or be available? There's just things, but it happens, like you said, when you're aligned. Now I'm gonna back up. You said something a little while ago that stuck with me. And you said you had to let go of that mindset of this is just how it is. And that I think is huge because I think a lot of people, especially people in tough situations, they just resign themselves to the fact like, okay, this is it. This is my life. This is just how it is. This is my lot in life or whatever it is. And if you have that mindset, that's exactly where you're going to stay. The
Always.
only way you're ever going to get out is by changing that. Now, how do you, obviously you were able to change that because you grew up, in, a poor family and everything like that. How did you make that switch? Obviously, you said you did a lot of visualization. You said you wanted something more out of life, but how did you switch out of that mindset of, okay, this is just how it is?
So it took a lot, I'm gonna be honest. It wasn't an overnight thing. It was absolutely a process. But I started with like little things. I became super fucking defiant, which helped me a lot. So when people told me that I couldn't, I used that as gas to basically be like, watch me.
Right.
I was basically told, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, my whole life. But not in the sense of like, you can't do this because it's not good for you. It's more of like, you're not capable of doing these things. And I'm like,
Right.
who the fuck are you to say what I'm capable of doing and what I'm not capable of doing? We're capable of doing anything that we put our minds to. So that was like my first realization of, we don't need to listen to what other people have to say or what other people think about who we are in the sense of what we're able to accomplish. And
The
I.
unfortunate thing, sorry to interrupt you, but the unfortunate thing with that is in many cases, it's the people close to us, closest to us, who
Always.
are telling us that, whether it's parents or siblings or friends or whatever it is. And these are the people that, especially when you're young, you're raised to take them at their word because they have your best interest in mind. They're the ones closest to you. They're the ones who have your ear. So that's a really tough thing, like, especially for a kid who is told that, oh, you're never going to amount to anything. Oh, just, whatever. That's a tough thing to get around because who do you listen to? You got to listen to that inner voice, but how do you develop that inner voice?
Exactly. Well, that is exactly what I had to learn how to do, is let my voice, my internal voice, be louder than theirs. And how I was able to accomplish that, which this is like based off of reflection, I was able to figure out how I was able to accomplish that, because I didn't like say, oh, I'm just gonna figure this out. It was more like, this is what I did. And then now that I go back and reflect on it, it's like, okay, that's how I did it. I was told by, guidance counselors. I was told by my parents. I was told by other family members. I was basically everybody, like, you're not going to accomplish the things that you want. Like, even my 8th grade guidance counselor said, like, why are you even trying? Like, you're not going to accomplish anything. Like, why are you trying? 8th grade guidance counselor. I was just like, wow, okay. I guess I shouldn't be then. All right. And, I stayed in that mindset of, I'm not going to accomplish anything, so why am I bothering trying? So when it came to, the life path that I chose, it was like, okay, ex-husband wanted to get married. We got married. We had kids, things like that. Like, and it was like, well, whatever. This is what I'm supposed to do, I guess, because like I'm not supposed to be able to accomplish anything for myself. So it was like the change of the voice, the internal voice. I tied emotion to what it was that I wanted. I connected the emotion. So the emotional part of our brain, because it's connected to the part of our brain that handles all of our day-to-day stuff, it's stronger than the frontal cortex. The frontal cortex is our decision maker, right? That's the one that will, right. That's the conscious thinking. That is like the, you know, get up, you have a goal, get this thing done. The back of your mind is not in that same headspace, right? It's like, no, you can sleep for 10 more minutes. What does it really matter? It's only 10 more minutes, right? That nagging fucking bitch ass voice in the back of your head, I consider that to be everyone that told me that I couldn't.
Framed it.
Exactly. So all I had to do was realize that the voice in the back of my head that was telling me that I can't and that I shouldn't was the voice that I no longer need to be listening to. I needed to be listening to myself. So when I quieted that voice, this voice came out a lot stronger. I actually gave it, an alter ego. I gave myself an alter ego. Like we all have an alter ego. And mine was Ginger. She's a redheaded dominatrix. Doesn't take shit from everybody. She's just like, mm-mm.
I'm seeing a pattern here. Naughty lingerie, dominatrix. Okay.
Super fun. Telling you. But that's my girl, right? That's my girl.
Right.
Didn't realize at the time that was actually my spirit guide. But at the time, I needed somebody. I needed someone to visualize that's going to be strong, really strong-willed, doesn't take bullshit, and someone that I wanted to be like I wanted to emulate. I wanted to be like, I'm sorry, did you just tell me that I can't fucking do something? Well, watch this shit. Like, watch me do this shit. And, you know, it came out of me in the sense of, as funny as this is, I was the quiet kid. I was the kid that no one ever heard anything from. I know. Crazy.
Quiet kid.
Mm-hmm. I was the quiet kid. I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want to bother anybody. I was like, just no thank you. Not interested. Didn't really connect really well with people that I went to school with. I was like, I'm all set. I was the quiet kid. I was always the kid that was just whatever. I don't care. I'm just going to go do my thing. Whatever.
Right.
That was me. And now you can't fucking shut me up. Now I, you know, talk on stages. Now I work with companies that, you know, of all different sizes. And, you know, this is who my personality actually is. And I realized that everything that I was listening to was being taught to me by people that didn't have my best interest in mind. And even though they were my family and, you know, counselors and, you know, all of that type of stuff, even though there were people that were supposed to be, you know, guiding me in the right space, they were trying to keep me safe. Just like our brains do.
Yeah, it's a self-preservation aspect in our brains.
Exactly. So we always will go to that first. It's like the feeling that you have when you're on a roller coaster that you're like, oh my God, you're so scared. Why? Because you feel like you're going to die because your brain is convinced that you're going to die on this ride. Right? It's all of a sudden like you've got like, you know, the Final Destination shit in your brain of like, you know, going off the tracks.
I was gonna say, it's a great movie to watch before you go to the amusement park.
Always, yes, absolutely. Or like drive on the highway behind logs, right? I still can't do that. But it's our brain. Our brain tells us. Our brain is basically the biggest assholes in our entire lives. Why? Because it's basically all of the people that told us that we can't do things, all of the people that were trying to keep us safe our entire life, is literally shoved in the back of our fucking brain. And it's always there. Always there. And you have to overcome that voice to listen to the voice of reason that you actually have here, your conscious thinking. When you let go of that piece, that emotional thinking, you're also letting go of everything that anybody has ever told you that you're not able to do for yourself.
Right. So I think that the very, very first step is to just admit to yourself that you want something more.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's okay. Because once you're okay with that, then you can start asking the questions like how. and working, because unless you actually admit that to yourself and let that be a part of your thought process and who you are, okay, I do want something more. Till you get to that point and you're beyond that, okay, I'm just how it is, I'm not going to do anything else. Once you get to that point, you're beyond that resignation, then that's when you can start asking the right questions and you can start looking for solutions. Because if you don't do that, you're never actually going to look for anything.
Correct.
You're not going to look for the people. You're not going to look for the opportunities. You're not going to look for the ways to better yourself to become the type of person that you need to be to achieve the goals that you want. I think that's super important. I think that's super important because so many people are in the same position as you, and they're beat down by everybody around them, their parents, their guidance counselors, their teachers, their friends, everybody else. It's like that crabs in a bucket, pulling everybody down. So even if you don't have people around you to support you, because obviously that's a big part of success too, is having surrounding yourself with the right people. But if you're not able to get, five good friends who are excited and ambitious and successful and going places and have that sort of mindset, if you're alone and you don't know anybody like that, you've got to be your own group.
Completely.
And it's funny how many times I've heard that people have created characters. Like you were talking about Ginger, this redhead.
The alter ego.
Yeah, the alter ego, this character that you can step into and become, because a lot of people are, they can't think of themselves like that, but they can build a character and they can play that character. And that's fascinating to me because I've heard that several times talking to people when they're in very dark times or where they're in that struggle and trying to find their path, creating that alter ego.
It's honestly, sometimes it's like you just need that person that believes in you as much as you want to believe in you. And if you have to even create that, you can create that. Because not all of us are surrounded by people that are just like, no, you're able to accomplish anything you want. Like the way that I talk to my kids is about a bazillion times different.
Oh, I
They'll
imagine.
come to me with whatever they want to do. My youngest one day was like, I think I want to become a tattoo artist. I was like, cool. Did you look into, did you research it? Did you look into what it's going to take? And she's like, I haven't yet. I was like, well, research it. Research it and let me know. And so this way we can talk about it and figure out like what next steps would be. And she was like, okay. So she researched it. She's like, okay, so I can't really do anything until I'm 18, but what I think I want to do is I think I want to start getting like transfer paper. And then I'll use henna just to practice on myself, just to kind of get an idea of what it would be like. And I'm like, that sounds like a smart plan. So we did that.
Perfect.
And she's like, yeah, I like it. I don't know if it's something that I want to do as a career, but I like it. And I'm like, okay, cool. And she's like, okay, so and she went off and was still back to doing cosmetology and having her own place. And I'm like, cool. All right. Well, did you look into what
But you
that's going to
have to
take?
explore that.
Exactly. I make them explore everything. I make them look into everything. When they were young, they came to me with a whole, "Hey, mom, we decided we want to, open a business." And I'm just like, "That's great. What are you guys going to do?" They're like, "Well, we're going to do lawn care." And I'm like, "Okay, great." They're like, "So can we like borrow the lawnmower and the weed whacker and the leaf blower and money for gas and money for signs and shirts?" And I'm like, I'm like, this sounds awful a lot like mom is an investor. I'm like, so I'm gonna have you guys write up a business plan.
Venture
And they're like,
capitalist.
yep. I'm like, all right, so I'm gonna have you guys write up a business plan. Now mind you, they were young. I think my oldest was like 9 at this time. And that was like, yeah, no, here you go. Gave them everything to write up a business plan. And they gave me all the reasons and they gave me their business name. They actually I made them come up with a business name. They were gonna be the Lawn Ninjas. And they didn't think all the way
I can
through,
relate to that, right?
right? They didn't think all the way through the black t-shirts though. But
That's where real life experience comes in.
I'm gonna feel that one. But they gave me like all of the
Yes.
reasons, and like the final reason was because you love us and we're adorable. And I'm like, good reason. All right.
Right.
lasted a
And
whole
what
season.
percentage of the business do you own?
So I owned 15%. And
Nice.
it was only until I was paid back, and then once I was paid back, then they retained 100% of the business. But
Perfect.
I made them work through the whole process. I'm like, if it's something you really want, I want you guys to think it through. I'm like, if it requires you to go to school, go to school. If it doesn't require you to go to school, do not fucking accrue debt. Don't accrue debt if it doesn't require you to go to school. Get the education, but don't waste the time and money on a piece of paper that's probably just going to hurt your ass when you wipe with it.
Yep. Yeah, I don't. College is, except for very, very specific career fields, college is worthless these days.
Yeah,
It just puts
no,
you behind the eight
completely.
ball in debt. It's horrible.
Exactly. Every career is different. Every path is different, of course. So I say, like, if it's something you need school for, go to school for it. If it's something you don't need school for, get the education the way that you need to get the education. I'm more of a hands-on learner myself, and I'm just like, that's where I need to be. I'm like, I was looking into the MBA program, and I'm just like, this book is from 1978. This book is older than me. What
Yeah.
the
Has
fuck?
nothing to do with nowadays.
And I'm like, I'm not wasting my money on this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, young kids, again, it's the guidance they're receiving, a lot of times, like, go to school. Why? And then, go spend, get in debt $100,000 in some gender studies degree and complain because you can't get a freaking job. It's like, well, think it through. Think it through to the outcome. Like, that's what we need to be teaching kids is how to think things through, how to look at things critically and consider the outcomes, not just, eh. Because coming from a credit guy, starting your life out with, six figures in student loan debt that will never go away is not
Not
setting
at
yourself
all.
up for
Not at all.
real
Honestly,
immediate
if
success.
I see it more times than I care to think. I had somebody that I went to school with that literally is still paying off his college debt. And I'm like, you're like almost 50. And he's like, yeah, I'm still paying off my college. I'm like, that's insane.
I literally had clients when I had my credit repair business that were in their mid to late 50s and still
That's
had
so
student
crazy.
loans from
I
when they
can't
were
imagine.
in their
I can't imagine.
20s. And you can't do anything about it. You can't bankrupt them out. You can't get rid of them. There are some companies who say they can get them reduced or eliminated, and there might be certain situations which you can do that, but the exception does not disprove the rule. Those things are like the cockroaches of the lending industry. They do not die. They can prevent you from buying homes. They can it, they're just the one of the worst possible forms of debt that you can possibly take on. So if you
Agreed.
don't have to,
Agreed. I tell my kids that. And
don't
so
do
many people give me so much shit. They're
it.
like, your kids should, no, they have to go to college. And I was like, for what? Like, my son wants to be a firefighter. He doesn't need to go to college for that. He needs to go to the fire
Yeah,
academy.
have to. Why?
I'm like, my one daughter is like, okay,
But
right.
when you
My
ask him
one daughter,
why,
she's like, I want to be a
because they
sound
have to.
interpreter. I was like, okay, so for that, you're gonna have to go to school. So she's going to school for it. But she's being smart about it. She's running a business at the same time. She's working a job at the same time. And she's paying for her debt so that she's not accruing. So between what I'm giving her and what
There you
she's
go.
paying, she's not going to have student debt. Because I'm like, I do not want you to have debt. I don't want you to start off by having debt. I also, she lives on my property so that she doesn't have to pay rent. I'm like, all she has to cover is her utilities and her food. This way, she's saving up her money to take care of her college. And then after that, she's saving to buy a house so that she doesn't have to worry. Like, I don't want you to have to worry about rent. Rent should be like the least of your problems. On top of that, she basically is a Disney princess and painted her entire apartment to look like such. And I'm like, most landlords are not going to let you get away with that. She's like, oh, look, the kitchen has like a princess and the frog theme. It's green and it's like, it's great. I'm like, oh, it is green. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, wonderful.
But I let them express themselves in ways that I was
That's
never allowed
awesome.
to. I let them explore what they want for themselves in ways that I was never allowed. I do make sure that they understand actions and consequences, of course, because I'm not just their friend, but I'm also their mom. I have to make sure that they understand that. I know.
I mean, there are consequences
Crazy
to our
shit,
actions.
right?
Oh my God.
Right?
If
Would
I'd
have
only
saved you
known
so
this
much
would
time, right?
so much time. All right. So let's summarize this real quick. For somebody who's maybe in a situation they're not coming from money and they don't have those support system around them, that encouragement, that they got the opposite of that. What do they do? How do they get started on that? It's deciding that
You
they,
have to
first of
make the
all, that they
decision
want
and
something
like
more.
really set it firm into your
And then
mind, body, spirit that you want something more. Until you get it to the point where what you want becomes stronger than the voice in the back of your head, you won't accomplish it, or the voices around you for that matter.
or
Exactly.
the voices around
You
you.
need to make sure that what you're setting up for yourself is something that you're really aligned with. You want it so badly that you're going to make changes to make it happen to the point where you will feel the emotion connected to what it is that you want for yourself. Once you do that, then it's the difference between here and here. Back of your brain is everybody else. Everybody else. It's the emotion. It's well, you don't really need to. It's that is the same as the voices around you telling you that you can't. When you associate those two together, you stop listening and you start listening here. When you start listening here, you'll be able to accomplish anything that you decide you want to. I'm actually in the process of 75 hard right now. And yeah, it's super fun. Super fun, especially with sunburn.
Nice.
Feeling it. I have six
Yeah.
autoimmune diseases. I was told about 16 years ago that I was not going to walk anymore. I was going to be bedridden. I was going to be on 25 medications for the rest of my life. And that I had to be fine with being disabled. And I'm like, no thanks. Not going to do that. And now I take no medications. I don't subscribe to that shit. I take no
Not going to subscribe to
medications.
that.
I take very good care of myself. I live a Mediterranean lifestyle and I'm able to do 2 45-minute workouts every single day. I was able to, do our, 10 acres over here for 11 hours yesterday, averagely hitting on a slow day 15,000 steps, but averagely hitting about 24,000 steps in a day. Because they told me that I couldn't.
Wow.
So just to be clear, you can accomplish
So it's the FU
anything
mindset. Watch me.
just by people telling you that you can't. Use it as fuel instead of a deterrent. When you do that, you'll make your shit happen every single time. Yes. Oh, yeah, I say that to people all the
Please
time. I'm
tell
like,
me I
please tell me
can.
I can't. Just tell me that I can't, because then watch me do
One more time.
it.
One more time.
Yep.
Exactly. So I'm gonna
I
add
had
you to that list of people
plenty of people
and
told me
then
that I couldn't. The guy
just
that I
watch
was
me.
dating that told me that I couldn't have the property. We were still dating when I pulled into the driveway and he was like, "You're fucking kidding me." I'm like, "Ha! Fucking told you." Like, it was like instantaneously, and then within like 2 months I broke up with him. And I was like, "Yep. No. Like, you still don't believe me. Bye." Like, don't need that in my life. You'll realize how quickly the people, right?
Yeah,
You'll
you need
very
people
quickly
around.
realize the people that aren't supposed to be in your life. Because you'll start recognizing them as being the voice in the back of your head, and you'll just push them away.
You'll
Exactly.
your vibe attracts your tribe. It really does. And that's important to surround yourself with like-minded people and people who are doing more than you and people who are who you want to be and have what you want to have. But it's tough to find those people sometimes. But it all starts with your mindset, and it
Correct.
starts with deciding that you want something more. Because once you do that, you'll start avoiding the people that are just there to tear you down, and the people that are supposed to be there will show up. The people that will support you, and the people that will encourage you, and
Correct.
people are on the same sort of mission
Every
as
time.
you. So they'll be there. They'll be there. And it may be tough to see that,
They
and
will
depending
show
on what
up when they're
situation you're
ready to
in,
show up.
but they're
When you're
there.
ready for them, they will be there.
Yeah. And you can seek them out too. There is, you know what, I heard, and this is it's very strange, because when I was growing up and I was a teenager, I got a job in like at a Christmas tree farm because it paid like $6 an hour and everything else was paying $5 an hour. But when you look at stuff like that, had I known the importance of networking, had I known the importance of being around people who want which, you know, who have what you want, I would have probably tried to maybe get a job at the golf course to be around a different, not necessarily better or worse, but be around people that were motivated, ambitious, successful, going places, the people that could help me get where I wanted to go in my head and have the connections, because ultimately your network is your net worth as well. The people around you are going to help you, but it's the people you know. So, you know, that's especially for younger people, you know, okay, yeah, you can go try and get a job at Burger King or a Christmas tree farm like I did, or doing manual labor, or you could really just focus on getting a job in a place that's going to put you around people who have more,
Absolutely.
think more, and do more. So, all right. Well, hey, I
Oh,
really
this isn't
appreciate your
early.
time. I
I'm
know
up at
it's
3.
early. So,
Early for you.
yeah. Early for most people. I'm always up, or I'm usually up really early. I need to, but
I'm
I got
sticking to my water.
go juice. If I'd gone to bed earlier last night, had I gone to bed earlier last night, right. But I've got a really busy day today because, like I said, I am on the road and traveling as of Thursday, so got a lot of stuff to take care of. But I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I
Well,
know you've
thank
got a lot of
you,
stuff
and
on
I
your plate too,
appreciate your
so
time
I do
and have safe
appreciate it.
travels.
Thank you, and thank you for giving us, you know, your
Absolutely,
insight on
happy
things. That
to.
was really helpful. I do appreciate that as well.
Talk
All
soon.
right,
All
we
right,
will
bye-bye.
talk to you soon, Suzanne.